Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Go with me, if you will, into Matthew, the 7th chapter. Just hold it there, and I want to just share something with you. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I just started, you know, reading my Bible. It was one of those times I had really no leading of the Lord. I don't know why I was even reading. I just kind of like started reading Matthew, the 5th chapter, and then Matthew, the 6th chapter, Matthew, the 7th chapter. Started thinking about some of the things that I'd read. I'd read them 1,000 times. I've taught them 100 times, and it wasn't anything new to me at all. There wasn't a thing new to me that I was reading. And yet I still found myself reading, and listen to this, listening for the Holy Spirit to share something, even though I knew what the verses were and what were coming out. I knew I'd read them so many times and for so many years that they weren't a surprise to me. But I found out something that even when they're not a surprise to you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that's when that which is common becomes exceptional. And I was looking at the Word of God like, I know this verse, I know what's going on, and I've taught it so many times before, and then bang, here comes the Holy Spirit that says something and just puts a new light on everything of all the years that I've ever known about this part of Scripture. Just all of a sudden something new pops out. That's the way all of us need to be. Sometimes we come into church, we get real religious. We say, oh, I know that verse. Like you can't learn something else from the verse. And God has such a wealth in His Word that you can read something 100 times and get 100 different things from the Holy Spirit out of it that leads you different places. So anybody that comes in, I know that, I could quote that. Can I tell you something? You're just a religious person that's never going to grow. Because you know it and quote it doesn't mean you have it all down pat. There's all kinds of areas that God wants to take you. This happened to me. Now, I was reading these verses. I want to read them to you. Start in verse, if you will, the 7th chapter in verse. Let's take a look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravenous wolves. Verse 16. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Again, verse 20, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And oftentimes when I read this, I knew where it was going. And then the Spirit of God spoke to me something a few weeks back that I thought was really profound. And I was fascinated. The words came out and it said these words to me. How will they know you? Which is what this is really all about. If a good tree produces good fruit and can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit, and you and I will know what is good and what is bad by what they produce in their life, then how do they know who I am? Unless I am producing something that displays who I am. Before you and I go any further, each one of us are going to say something with our life, not always that we will say with our mouth. Your life says a lot. And the word display is a great word tonight. How will they know you means simply what is it that you are displaying in your walk, not only before God, but before the world. And can I say this to you guys? Listen to me just for a moment. I just want to share this with you. I really care about what God thinks. But I also want to care enough to care what people think. Not because I'm trying to just to please people, but I want them to know who I am And I want to do it without oftentimes having to say it, because words can be cheap. All of us have got promises from everybody about everything these last few months, 6, 8, 10 months of our life that has changed our whole way of thinking. Words are cheap. Words are said, and we're not even sure whether or not we can go any longer and stand on them and believe them. But I've got a word from God that says these words. By their production of what their life is all about, the world will know who they are. And can I say something? Not only are talking about people that are bad, I don't want to follow somebody that's out of sync with God because they look good. I want to follow somebody who's in sync with God because on the inside they're producing, they're displaying the right fruit. And I can see that clearly myself. Let me give you an illustration. Back in December, we have a tree. One of the trees in our yard is a navel fruit, you know, a navel orange. And I remember, I don't know what I was doing out there, but I saw these oranges on the orange tree, and they were real big and yellow. And I like you probably do, navel oranges, you know, where you get the big thick skin and you peel them off and you eat it. And I picked a whole bunch of them, piled them in my shirt and carried them in the house and washed some of the dirt and mud and bird stuff off of them. And then I got a hold of a big one. I started peeling. It was so beautiful, orange. And then as I ate it, it was too early in the season and it was sour. And it was beautiful on the outside, but sour on the inside. And God said the same thing. He says, you'll know them by their fruit. In other words, what he is saying, on the outside, we can look real good. So there's a fruit that's on the inside that's got to come forth and display something in order for us to know somebody. Not just what they look like on the outside. Is anybody following me? So I started talking to God about this because I was really doing it on a personal basis. And what good fruit should look like. And God started sharing with me about what good fruit looks like. And I have a few things I want to just share with you. And I'm going to put them in Numbers 1 through 4. And let's take a look at them. It's just easy things to remember 1 through 4. What good fruit looks like. Here's number 1. Deeply displays God. You and I have got to display God. Not just talk about God. But to display God. That when people see you, they see something different about you that shows them that you have got God. I mean, sometimes I walk around Christians, they're the biggest sourpusses I've ever met. Are they the biggest liars I've ever met? Are they the biggest, most ungodly, and they have no holiness understanding whatsoever, and live just like the world? And quite frankly, most of the time, you can't tell a Christian from the world unless they have a bumper sticker on their car or a cross around their neck. And it ought not to be that way. There ought to be something they see in us that's different. A smile, a twinkle in our eye. A word of encouragement, a subtle relationship of peace, a step forward, a hope in our voice. Something that displays that God lives inside me. And the world can fall apart. And the world is. And the world is headed for hell. And it is. But there's a God on the inside that I can display. So many times over the years, you know, I never, over all these years of dealing with people, I never let compliments go to my head. I mean, I have to tell you, there's a lot of people come up and say, you're an idiot, you're a fool, I hate this church, you're a jerk. But there, for every one person that does that, there's 1,000 people that say, I just love you and Deborah, and I love you and your marriage, and I love you and your excitement for God. And if we talk to you, you always bring us back to something, God. Don't bring you back to psychology. Don't bring you back to some infrastructure of the world. We bring you back to a relationship with God. Our marriage, our children has something. You will see God in this marriage. You'll see God in this church. And I always used to say as a young preacher, well, the real Christians stand up, because I didn't know who they were. Out of one side of their mouth came garbage and vile. Out of the other side of their mouth was a smile. And I always wondered, my goodness sakes, why don't we just display who we really are? If we're really in God, they ought to be able to see God in our lives. I like that. You'll know them by their fruit. Ephesians 5:9, it says these words. I'll read it to you. You can pop it up on the over. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, what I show, goodness, righteousness, and truth, ought to be what the world sees. Not cunning craftiness, not foolishness, not lies. Not some, personality that comes along and tricks people into liking them so they can mislead them somewhere. But really, that's the lifestyle. I like what it says in Psalms 92. If you want to turn there with me in your Bible, in verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Now, let me tell you something. Someone who says, I'm not planted in the house of God, I believe in God and I love God, and God loves me. There's no doubt. But you better be planted in the house of God. Because here's what I found out, that if you're not planted in the house of God somewhere, someplace where you can respect somebody who's going to tell you about Jesus and display Jesus for you, then guess what happens? The last part of that verse doesn't come along because it says this, shall flourish in the courts of God. And I doubt if people are ever going to produce the fruit that shows that they're flourishing unless they're in a place where they can give out and receive in and worship God at church. Verse 14 comes along and says, and they shall bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. If you're over 50, that ought to be your memorization verse for the rest of your life. Fresh and flourishing. Mama, getting out of bed. Godzilla sat on me last night. Oh, you're fresh and flourishing. But here's this deal. Always displaying God. Is that good? Because without it, man, I'm telling you, it just doesn't work. What good fruit looks like. Here's number two. Good fruit looks like this. It displays continuous fruit. In other words, it's not here just for today and gone tomorrow. This is not just a season where you act like a Christian. And then when troubles get tough, you give up, quit, go back to the world. When your best friends leave you, they don't invite you to the parties anymore. Because you used to be fun in their kind of thinking, but now you have a different kind of a thinking. And a lot of people will understand that this walk with Jesus Christ is a consistent thing. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon until Jesus comes. And how do you know Jesus is not coming? Man, he said there'll be one world economy. Is it not true that there's one financial economy coming from all the nations trying to get together right now, right before your very eyes? How do you know the eastern sky is not going to split and Jesus is coming back very soon, maybe tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and rapture you out of here? I don't know that. You don't know that. But I'm here to tell you something. I'm here to stay until the day comes when he comes and gets me. Continuous fruit. And I don't just produce it once in a while, man. Oh, last week I went to church. I'm here all the time. And when I'm not ministering, I'm in church. You know why? Because it's not Pastor Dan or anybody else that's preaching to me. It's the Holy Ghost preaching to me. I haven't come to hear from anybody else. Pastor Deborah or Pastor Dan or Pastor Becker or Pastor Simmons or anybody else. I've come to hear from God. Continuous fruit. Just going on with it, man. Listen, so important. You know when I first got saved? I was excited, probably a lot like you guys, and I went to all my friends and I started telling them I got Jesus. And you need Jesus too. Boy, he just set me free. I feel so good. Life has got hope. And all my friends said, you're an idiot. Get away from us. We don't want any part of that. My relatives thought I was a fool. But can I tell you something? I've been at this a lot of years now. Now they come and find out how to live life from me. the most hard Christ rejectors of 40 years ago and 50 years ago are now the ones that want him the most. And where do they go to find out why? Because I'm consistent. And you and I have got to have one word with God. He uses the word faithful. I use the word consistently faithful. Not just faithful for a day. Is anybody listening? I love what the Word of God has to say. Let's check it out in Ezekiel. This is kind of a fascinating verse when I read Ezekiel in chapter number 47 of Ezekiel. In fact, let's just put it up on the overhead and read it again. In chapter number 47 of Ezekiel, in verse number 12, I found this verse. What a wild verse. Are you ready? This is one of those verses that are like, where did you find this? I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost that led me to here. Listen to this. It says, along the banks of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. The verse continues to go on. Their leaves will not wither. Well, here's a tree that doesn't dry up in the summer or kick its leaves off in the winter. Listen to this. And their fruit will not fail. It doesn't live for a season. And then he goes on and he says these words. He says, they will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. The water don't flow from the ground. Water doesn't flow from this world. Water is what nourishes us and strengthens us and brings us all that we need. And it comes from the sanctuary of God. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves. Every part of us consistently going for medicine. He's obviously not talking about fruit of a plant. He's talking about people who are planted by the rivers of life. Jesus Christ is where we get that from. The flow of the Holy Ghost. Remain consistent with the things of God. Whew. We're talking about what good fruit looks like. Here's number three. Displays a good heart. Good fruit has a good heart. You know what a good heart is? It's a tender heart. It's a giving heart. Listen to this. It's an unselfish heart. It's a heart, now you may not be here yet, but hang around, you'll become this way. It's a heart that cares more about others than it cares about itself. That's a God kind of heart. Someone said to me, I don't know what's going on in the economy. I heard they're going to take all the write-off away from people who give their money to churches. That's exactly what I said. So, our church doesn't give to get a write-off. We've learned to give because we love God. And that's the heart of giving. It's never been, oh, I thank God it lets us to write it off. We just get to have more money to give, more money to live on. But guess what? It wouldn't stop our giving. Would it? You better say no. I mean no because it's not because of the money. It's because of the heart. A heart that's unselfish, a heart that wants to give, a heart that's tender, not a heart that's abusive and out for itself. How many people do you know that are just out for themselves? They'll chew you up at your expense in order for them to profit. That's so sad. A good heart is one who takes it. Listen to what it says in this word of Matthew, 13th chapter, verse number 8. Talking about the seeds that fell to the ground that produced crops. Watch this. Or know them by their fruit. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 60 and some 30. See the words good ground there? Talking about the heart. That's the good ground. God says, how will you know them? There's something different about us. We display God. Now, something different about us. We're continuously going on with God. There's something different about us. We've got a heart that's different than the rest of the world. Wow. Last one for tonight. Are you ready? How what good fruit looks like. I love this. Displays godly wisdom. Good fruit displays godly wisdom. Did you know there's two kinds of wisdom? There's the wisdom of the world that you make your decisions by based on what the world says and what other peoples in the society and social system tell you to do. But there's also the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God makes decisions based on the things God says. It is not always the wisest thing to the world. But we're in the world, not of the world, so therefore we shouldn't let the world run us. We ought to let the wisdom of God run us. And sometimes the wisdom of God says things that are contrary to how we feel, or what we know, or what the world says, or even what society is doing. And when you and I, who are producing fruit, have got to produce fruit because we make our decisions that gets us the direction that ends up at the right place that God would have us to be, because we drew from the wisdom of God, not from our feelings or our parents or our relatives or society or social system or even the present day economic conditions. We draw from what God says. And when God says it, that settles it. It's done deal. It's over with. And now you become something strange to the world, but you become a godly and wise person, making decisions based on what God says. That means controlling your personality. That means stopping the tantrums and anxieties and worry attacks and not going there. That means not letting the devil in to cause you to be something where you shouldn't be. You're now applying and letting the wisdom of God rule your life instead of your feelings. And when you do, you will display God. You will live continuously displaying God. And you will have a heart developed in the goodness of God. And you will be someone who's noted by the world, and they will know and see how you are and what you look like, and will know you because of the godly wisdom that you use. And they will come after you for that answer. In James, the book of James, half brother, by the way, of Jesus Christ. James, that's right. For some of you that are religious, don't understand that. Half brother of Jesus Christ. Had sisters too, if you read the Bible. It's right in the Bible. James is a senior pastor of the great church of Jerusalem, half brother of Jesus. And he writes this verse in the third chapter, verse number 17. Just pop it up on over here. Watch this. It says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." In other words, it's not out to hurt anybody, it's not out to taint the future, it's not out to mislead, misguide. Wisdom is pure. Then peaceable. No frustration, there's no anxiety in it, it's just peaceable. Gentle. Then willing to yield. Then it comes along and says it's this wisdom from above is full of mercy. There comes that good heart. And look at this. Good fruits. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. In other words, wisdom from above is just plain flat different than the wisdom of the world. Tonight, here we are. The question is for every one of us when we walk out of this building, go to work, face our families, our relatives, our partners in marriage, our school relationships, classroom relationships, wherever it is you might be, how will they know you? The Bible makes it very clear they'll know you by your fruit. Do you display God without ever saying a word? Are you continuous in your relationship with God? Or is it just a one week up and one week down relationship? Because they're looking for consistency in this world today. Are you a person that comes along and is developing that tender heart that cares more about other people than you do yourself? Are you still operating in selfishness? And then fourthly, are you someone who calls upon the wisdom of God? I know we're not all there yet, and even I'm not there, but can I say this with all humility? I want to be there. And you know why? Because I want to please the Lord. You know why? Because I really, really, really love Him. And I'm really grateful that He saved me. And I'm really grateful that He brought my Debbie to me. And I'm really grateful that His hand is upon me. I'm really grateful that He lets me do what I do. Can you imagine? I get to share His goodness with people for the rest of my life. And I am out to do the very best I can to impress Him, knowing full well I can never impress Him because He already loves me. If God spoke to you tonight, come on, give Him a great big praise the Lord. Do you do that? Isn't that a good, healthy, solid word?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.